Proverbs 14 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is hasty has a hasty temper exalts folly." Proverbs 16, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Proverbs 15, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." The more I've paid attention over the last few weeks preparing for today, the more I've noticed small flashes of sinful anger in my own life. I often excuse my sinful anger by calling it frustration, irritation, or even disappointment. Or I blame shift by saying, "He made me angry," or "This situation made me angry," instead of owning my own sinful anger. And as the leader of my family, I need to set the tone, addressing bad attitudes in myself and others. This has been a humbling and profitable few weeks, and I hope this time it's a benefit for you as well. So what is anger? Let's start by looking at the world's definition. The American Psychological Association says it in three parts. We're going to consider each part separately and go right through it. Anger is an emotion characterized by antagonism towards someone or something you feel has deliberately done you wrong. What do you guys think about this so far? Pretty good. Anger can be a good thing. It can give you a way to express negative feelings, for example, or motivate you to find solutions to problems. All right, what do you guys think about this part? Less good, okay. Is there a beneficial amount of sinful anger? It's a trick question. The sinful part of it should give you a little bit of a hint. Should we manage sinful anger? What should we do with sin? I think you guys are under-caffeinated this morning. Repent. Thank you. Repent and kill it. Absolutely. Let's read the third section. But excessive anger can cause problems. Increased blood pressure and other physical changes associated with anger make it difficult to think straight and harm your physical and mental health. What do you guys think about this part? What was that? Not strong enough. Not strong enough? Okay.
Inward focus.
Yep. Focused on how it affects me and my body. Anyone else?
Yeah, it has no reference to God. It has no reference to the ultimate problem is that in our sin we offend Him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good as far as it goes. It is, that's true, that being angry all the time does have an effect on your body. But it also reflects an evolutionary point of view. Where what is the significance of men in an evolutionary point of view? Or humanity, I should say. Right, yeah, we're just meat sacks full of chemicals, and there's no eternal significance to people. But as Christians, what are people from a biblical worldview? Yeah, body and souls. We are made in God's image, and our biggest problem is sin. Sin. So would anyone like to take a stab at a biblical definition of sinful anger? I'm sorry?
Unbelief.
Okay. I stole this from the First Baptist Church in Jacksonville. I thought it was helpful. You may want to jot it down as well, too. It says, "Sinful anger is hatred towards God and others. It starts in the heart. It is expressed in words, actions, and attitudes. I'll repeat that one more time in case you're writing it down and are trying to catch up. Sinful anger is hatred toward God and others. It starts in the heart. It is expressed in words, actions, and attitudes. What are some examples of sinful anger in the Bible? Yeah, good one. Yep. Yes, very good. Cain's anger against Abel. One generation out of the Garden of Eden, and we already have brothers fighting against each other. Abel brought the best of his flock as an offering, and God accepted it. But God rejected the offering that Cain made in his garden. Genesis 4 says, "So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it.' Cain spoke to his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him." One generation from the Garden of Eden, and we already have anger and murder. And it doesn't really get better from there, does it? Yes. Yep.
Is there a difference between anger and frustration?
Anger and frustration. let's see. I think, well, we're going to talk a little bit about what makes anger sinful. Is it possible to be angry and not sin? I think oftentimes we will dress up anger and call it frustration as a way to excuse our own sinful anger. So I think we'd have to maybe address a more specific situation. We can certainly be angry at sin and not be sinning ourselves, but it's also very dangerous as well, too, where we can, I see myself easily slipping into sin, even if the initial anger that you're angry at is not in itself sinful. I think just helpfully defining what is anger.
You know what you're frustrated with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing you can do anything about, but you have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's a fine line where you have to either resolve it in your mind and say, this is not anger, or it is anger, and I have to be careful. So you have to do anything about the situation.
Right. Yeah, you can certainly be going through difficult situations. And, you know, what is our attitude as we're responding to that? Are we submitting ourselves to God's will and providence joyfully, or are we kicking against what God has for us and the good plan that he has to grow us and mature us? But I'm hoping also Brad is going to take on some of those questions in anger part two. So why do we get angry according to the Bible? Let's turn, please, to James 4, starting in verse 1. If you're looking along in your church Bible, that's on page 1012. Why do we get angry? James 4, starting in verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What causes sinful anger according to these verses?
You don't get what you want.
You don't get what you want, yeah.
Passions.
Passions? Mm-hmm. Yep. You want wrong things, yep. I think generally, just selfishness summarizes a lot of this passage. Let's continue on James 4, 6 through 12. I'd say this is largely about how do we escape sinful anger. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So how do we escape sinful anger according to this passage?
Submitting to God,
yeah. Anything else? Yeah, humility, very good. So notice that if we choose not to escape anger, we're choosing to remain angry. So what causes anger in the first passage? Say selfishness, generally. And how long will we stay angry, according to the second passage? Until we're humbled before the Lord. Let's look at another passage. Mark 7, 18. And he, that's Jesus, said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Why do we sin according to this verse? Sure. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. For from within, out of the hearts of man, come evil thoughts. So defilement doesn't come externally from what you eat in this passage. We could extrapolate from that, that sinful anger is not external. It is not because someone made you angry. We are shown to be sinners by the sin that comes out of our hearts. Let's pause a minute. Do you have any reflections on that? Dig into that a little bit more as well, too, in a minute. Anyone else? All right. What are the results of sinful anger? That's section 4 in your outline, if you're following along. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. What is the result of anger according to this verse? It tends to spread. Yep. Now, does this contradict the last section where it talks about sinful anger coming out from our heart? Here it's saying, don't make no friendship with a man given to anger, or you will learn his ways. Anger is learned from angry people. Are those things in conflict? No. That's right. Who is ultimately responsible for our sinful anger? We are. It can both be true. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What is the result of anger according to this verse? Or what is not the result of anger according to this verse? Righteousness. That's right. The anger of man is contrary to the righteousness of God. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's the result of anger according to this verse? Condemnation. Yeah, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven. James 3:8 says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. What is the result of anger and cursing? It's not an easy yes or no answer on this. There's an incongruity or incompatibility between blessing God and cursing people made in God's image. Yeah. Yeah. It's not impossible for a God worshiper to sin in anger, but I hope you see that there is an incompatibility. Yeah, it's a good diagnostic. If you're getting angry, that calls into question, how well are you really worshiping? So James 1 says that anger does not produce righteousness. And James 3 says that anger will affect your worship. Sinful anger will cripple your spiritual walk. Can others make us angry? We've touched on this briefly, but let's dig a little deeper. Matthew 12:33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. According to this verse, what is the source of the words that we speak? Our hearts. Is it external circumstances? No. Good tree produces good fruit. Bad tree produces bad fruit. Our words are the fruit of our heart. So if, according to this verse, can some external situation force us into sinful anger? We kind of want to say yes, don't we? Are there occasions where it is more likely that we will get angry? Yes, absolutely. Yet, who is ultimately responsible for our sinful anger? We are. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Where does the lure and enticement to sin come from? Again, it's our own desires. Notice the progression. The person's own heart leads to desire, leads to sin, leads to death. Does God tempt us to sin? No. Can others force us to sin? No. He does. Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Well, that person didn't get you started. You wouldn't sin because that interaction wouldn't be there.
Yep.
When the interaction is there, it's like you are responsible for how you're going to react to what that person says. And you have to be aware of that. And that's your sin. If you don't,
Yeah, again, it's revealing what's in your heart. So if you've got a cup full of anger that you're carrying around with you and someone bumps into you, that anger's going to spill out. So was the occasion that revealed the anger that you've been carrying around in your heart, that sinfulness, is exposed by someone bumping into you in a way you didn't like. And yet it's still our fault. If we didn't have the anger in our heart, it would not have come out when we were bumped. So if you're, yes, John.
So you keep making references to sinful anger.
Yes.
I'm curious what non-sinful anger examples you might throw at us.
Fantastic. Okay, does God ever sin? No. Does God get angry? This is the next section right here. You let me right into it.
Sorry.
No, that's perfect. Does... What are some examples of God getting angry in the Bible? clearing the temple, yes.
Flood.
The flood, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Many times, yes. Yes, yeah. Yeah. One in particular with the scribes and Pharisees is when Jesus heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. And he asks them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or kill? But they were silent, and he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of hearts. The scribes and Pharisees were more interested in keeping the rules of the Sabbath than in a man's withered hand. Any other examples? Yes, Corey.
Of God getting angry.
Yeah.
When Moses refuses to go, that's one of the first times the Bible uses God getting angry.
That's right, yep. So at the burning bush, God sends Moses to Pharaoh, and he keeps making excuses, and then finally God gets angry at him when Moses says, please send someone else. Yep. It's Exodus 4:10, yes. A golden calf. So,
I don't remember where the text is, but I think it's in the Psalms, God is angry with the wicked every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prideful
verse. Yes. So when we get angry, when we have sinful anger, why do we get angry? A review here. We didn't get our way. Yeah, pride and selfishness. When does God get angry? At sin. God gets angry at sin. And it is not sin for him to be angry at sin. Right. Yeah.
Yes, God can get angry and vexed as a person. That's not righteous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have a question about how God gets angry when God gets angry. The question, I'm going to frame it in the life of Jesus. So Jesus lived in a person in Palestine where the ruling authority was a pagan nation. And yet often, plenty for him to be righteously angry at the Romans. But the accounts that we get in the life of Jesus when he is righteously angry are most often directed at the religious leaders. Is there a lesson for us in that? Not to get angry at our religious leaders, but like the things that God has chosen to show us, this is what Jesus got angry about, tend to be
right. Yeah, like the clearing of the temple, it's God's house is to be a house of worship. So what was designed to be worship was being used as a marketplace for their personal enrichment. And so he was angry that what should have been glorifying God was actually detracting from the worship of God. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't seem to be the way that Jesus' anger expressed itself. It seems to be more to be his father's being misrepresented, or his father's real desires are being misrepresented. Those tend to be, at least what I see.
So this is part one. Part two, I believe Brad is going to be talking more about what can we be angry at? Is it ever right to be angry at God? Should we ever take revenge? How should we respond if someone is angry with us? And is it possible to have victory over sinful anger? So I think some of these discussions may be coming up next week. Brad's smiling. So we see in the Bible that God does get angry, and he is not sinning when he is angry at sin. But is anger an essential attribute of God? We're on point six on your outline. So what is an essential attribute? It's something that's true about God's nature from all of eternity past. Who can think of some of the essential attributes of God? Loving, yeah. He's holy, yes. Andrew? Awesome. Yes, he is just. Thinking like omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's eternal, without beginning and without end. He's invisible. He's immutable. He does not change. And he is triune. Yes, Chris? We've read a couple of books about the attributes of God, and I was encouraged and helped. My mind was stretched, and I think I probably got about 10% of what was in the book. So this might actually be an interesting topic to discuss in the future, in a future course seminar about some of the attributes of God. God is triune. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So before God created anything, God is love. Let that set in for a little while. God had perfect love, perfect fellowship, perfect community within the triune Godhead for all eternity past. It's kind of wild to think about. It's hard to think about all eternity. God is beautiful. He is admirable. God delights in the triune Godhead, and we should delight in God too. Book recommendation, Delighting in the Trinity. Perhaps you come from a background where you imagine that God is always angry and waiting to smite you. But how did Jesus describe his own heart? Gentle and lowly, yes. That's Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is a helpful context for me. God is beautiful, admirable, gentle, and holy. So what does God get angry at? Sin. But God was not angry in eternity past because there was no sin to be angry at. God is slow to anger towards sin. Let's look at Psalm 86. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. In Numbers 14, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Slow to anger, forgiveness, steadfast love, and justice. Where do we see this fulfilled? At the cross. Do you think of your sin as a small or trivial thing? No. Jesus did not die a horrific death because of something small or trivial. Jesus will return, and there will be a final judgment. I plead with you, if you are outside of Christ, come to the cross. At the cross, Christ bore the righteous anger of God. The only safe place to be is in Christ. Is all human anger sinful? Let's look at Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So is all anger sinful? No. Verse 26, in fact, says that we are told to be angry. Be angry and do not sin. But is there a danger to remaining angry, even if it isn't initially sinful? Yes. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Did you notice that we are also told not to be angry at the end of this passage? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. What's the difference? I think the context is the forgiveness from God through Christ. God is angry at sin. But God also provided a pattern of forgiveness as we interact with each other. Reconcile with people. Seek the good of others. How can we make sense of this? Come back next time to hear Brad teach part two. It is right to be angry at sin. It is right to encourage and plead with people to repent and be reconciled to God. As we draw to a close, I want to leave you with this thought. Do you see a pattern of anger in your life? We all sin. We all get angry from time to time. But is it a pattern? Would someone describe you as consistently angry? If so, this is a warning sign. Please take this as a diagnostic. Might it be that you have forgotten what it cost to forgive you? Or might you be outside of Christ? Perhaps you have never been forgiven. If you are not a Christian, you are guilty before God. But Christ satisfied God's anger at sin for all who believe. Remember, what causes fights and quarrels, according to James 4? Selfishness and pride. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It takes complete humility to bow down at the foot of the cross. I plead with you to confess your sins and take refuge in Christ. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let's end in prayer. Lord, thank you that you are slow to anger and that you are just and right and completely punish sin. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to take the punishment for sin so that all who take refuge in Christ are forgiven. Help us leave all bitterness and wrath and anger, being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as you in Christ forgave us. In your name we pray. Amen.